Alright, so today is March 19th, 2015. I am interviewing James Jones as part of the UCF Oviedo History Harvest, and we are recording this interview at the Oviedo Historical Society located at the Lawton House in Oviedo, Florida. So our first question is, what is your full name?
My full name is James Marion Jones. That's Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N. I was born June 19th, 1945.
And when did your family come to Oviedo?
On my paternal side, my great-great-grandfather was Bats Newsome Mitchell. He was the first one to move here in about 1870. He was a dentist, and he also farmed in the area now known as Mitchell Hammock, and off Mitchell Hammock Road, which that's named for him. In fact, he's buried out in the Draughty Cemetery. If you know where that is, the Rouse Draughty Cemetery on Rouse Road by UCF.
Oh, yeah.
He's buried out there. He was the first one of our family to move from Oviedo to Oviedo from Georgia, again, around 1870.
Okay. Did your maternal family, they move here?
Excuse me?
That's different. Your maternal family?
My maternal family, my mother's family was from Macon, Georgia. Okay. And as far as I know back there on their side, my great grandfather fought in the Civil War. His name was C.A. Dewberry. He fought in A.P. Hill's division of the Army of Northern Virginia under Lee. He was injured in the Battle of Vicksburg, was captured at Petersburg, held as a POW in Virginia until the end of the war, and he lived until 1922, I believe that it was, and died in Macon, Georgia. And then I don't know how my mother and father met in Macon, but they did, married in Macon, and then he brought her back to Oviedo, where the rest of my paternal side was living at the time. And great-great-great-grandfather was Bats Mitchell. He had a daughter named Imogene Mitchell, who married the first Jones. And her name was Imogene Mitchell Jones. They're buried right here in the Oviedo Cemetery. And again, he practiced farming out in what's now known as the Mitchell Hammock area. And he practiced dentistry, too. And when he died, we gave his dental kit, which was a rather elaborate dental kit, to the University of Florida and the Florida State Museum in Tallahassee. That's a picture of his dental kit. They were all pearl-handled instruments. It even still had some of the chemicals in it that they used back then in the 1870s, including arsenic, believe it or not, and stuff like that. You can have that if you like.
Oh, thank you.
And I have an original picture of it, too, okay. If you ever wanted a better copy. But, he moved here, and we could trace his lineage, Mitchell's, back to 1700s, and they moved here from Ireland and Scotland. And in fact, I don't know if you're interested in any of this or not, I just ran a thing. I didn't do all this work, somebody else did this work, but that was the lineage there.
Oh, wow.
Of where we came from. I'm somewhere around generation 6 or 7, I believe. But it goes back to the old country anyway, when the first Mitchells moved here from Ireland and Scotland. One of them served in the Revolutionary War, and then his son served in the War of 1812. And then we had some that fought in the Civil War, for the South, of course. the War of Northern Aggression is known as in the South, you know. And just in case, that's the maternal side, where I came from. and the first one on last. I can't trace hers back as far as the old country. I never had really tried, though. But that's where they came. They all came from Macon. And thank God they left Macon, too. Have you ever been to Macon, Georgia?
I've not.
Oh, don't ever go.
No.
It is hot, dirty, smell. Oh, it's a terrible place. Great place to be from.
Right.
But anyway.
Okay. So what did your parents do?
Dr. Mitchell, he had his daughter Imogene married the first Jones. He had a general store in Oviedo. He would have been my great grandfather. And then my grandfather continued that on, and he had a general store. He also worked for the railroad, and he was postmaster of Oviedo for about 15 years. And then his son, my father, John Batts Jones Jr., was the postmaster of the Oviedo Post Office for 25 years until his death in 63.
Okay. What would you say your father was like his personality?
He was very businesslike. They worked hard back then. I know that back then when he was the postmaster, back then in those days, the post office was open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. And of course, they had to be there in advance, open up. They had to be there afterwards to shut down. So I'll bet you he worked a 70-hour week. And my mother was a clerk at the post office as well. And so they worked long, hard hours. It was back in those days, it was a hard life. It was a lot of hours of work. We don't appreciate it now, I don't think. But they did. They worked very hard. He was very businesslike. But they were good. They had two children, my brother and myself. Both of us went to Oviedo High School. I think there were 12 in my brother's graduating class at Oviedo High School in 1955. There were 30 in my graduating class in 1963, and there were about five of us, I think, that had started in the first grade together and went all the way through, graduated together.
What did your brother do, gone to do?
My brother, as you see in the basketball picture up there, he was a superstar in basketball. And in fact, he set records at Oviedo High School that still exist. He's in the Hall of Fame up there. And he got a full basketball scholarship to the University of Florida. And he played up there his freshman year. He was redshirted his sophomore year. And then in the summer of his sophomore year, he was working for the Alachua County just to make some spending money. Working with the road department, and he was sawing a limb off in a tree, and he had a terrible accident, fell, and nearly died. And he was left with a severe handicap after that, which he had to cope with for the rest of his life. So that ended any potential sports career that he might have had, because he was excellent at basketball particularly. He was also a good baseball player. Oh, we didn't have football back then. We didn't have enough people in the school to have a football team. Where was I? Then, of course, then I grew up in his shadow. He was 8.5 years older than me. I certainly grew up in his shadow. Oviedo was a little town back then, and everything circulated around the church and the school. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everybody in town knew everybody, whether you went to the gas station to get gas for your car, or whether you went to the barber shop to get a haircut. It was really, if you've seen the movie, do you remember Mayberry RFD, that TV series?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, you're too young. Okay. It was just a little one-stoplight town. And I grew up in his shadow. Everybody, are you going to be as good as your brother? Well, Johnny was 6'3", 185 pounds in high school. I was 5'8", 140 pounds. There wasn't any way I was going to be another Johnny Jones in sports. But he was my hero, nevertheless. I loved him to death, and we had a good, warm relationship growing up until his injury almost took his life. buddied around with him. You wouldn't have known we were 8 years different, because he always took me along with him everywhere he went.
Okay. So, did you have any favorite family stories that you wanted to tell? Or any traditions?
Oh, gosh. Well, our, like I said, work was always a big part of my mother and dad's life. And when it came to vacation time, we either did one of two things. We either went to the mountains in North Carolina, or we went to Daytona Beach and spent a week or two, or a week or two up in the mountains. That was their life. That's what they loved to do. They loved to go to the mountains, and they loved to go to the beach. So we would do that. Of course, I was like an only child because my brother being so much older, so when we would go on those vacations, I was like an only child by myself. Wasn't anybody to play with. I had to make up my own time. In the summer, again, all the life in Oviedo at that time circulated around either the church or the school during the regular year. When I say regular year, I mean like the school year from September to June. Mm-hmm. And then in the summers, the only thing there was to do in the summer was to go to the Oviedo swimming pool. Are you familiar with the Oviedo swimming pool down at Sweetwater Park?
Yeah.
It was built on WPA.
Oh, really?
Back in the 30s. And it really was a nice pool. It was one of the nicest pools in the area. And in fact, people came from as far away as Titusville and other cities to use the Oviedo pool because it really was a nice pool for its time. Of course, they ended up closing it in the late 60s, because there's no way it didn't meet any kind of health standards. It didn't have a filtration system. It didn't have a chlorination system. What they would do is every 3 or 4 days they would empty all the water out of the pool and fill it up with fresh water. So the day after they filled it up with fresh water, it was cold. And then by about the fourth day, it was really nice and warm. But, so that was all there really was to do much in Oviedo back in the summertime was the pool. And as I got a little bit older, there were some summer baseball leagues for little kids. They called them Babe Ruth leagues, where you just got together and played Sanford Schools or Longwood or something. And then, like I say, during the school year, everything circulated around the church and the school primarily meaning basketball games. And the baseball games, of course, were played during the day, so that wasn't as big a community event because people were working. We didn't have lights back then. So the basketball games were the main thing. That and church. Oviedo was quiet. It was, of course, I was born again in 45, right at the end of the war. It was a quiet old town, safe. Nobody locked anything. I don't know that we even owned any keys to the house. Nobody ever stole anything or anything like that. One little kind of funny story along that line, my mother and my brother had been to church one Sunday night, and they came home, and she went in, and I stayed home with my dad, and she woke my dad up, and she called him J.B. That was his nickname, J.B. He said, J.B., who's asleep on the couch in the hallway? We had a couch. But Dad said, nobody, just Jenny and I here. He said, somebody's asleep out there on the couch. So I went out there, sure enough, some drunk had wandered in off the street, laid down on the couch, and gone to sleep. So I guess they just woke him up and sent him on his way. I would have been just a real little fella at the time, but I remember that was just hilarious. Because nobody locked anything. I don't even know that we owned any keys to the house. And everybody else was the same way, too. Huh.
What church did your family go to?
The Oviedo Baptist Church, right across the street there. Uh-huh. My great-grandfather, J.M. Jones, was the clerk of the church for many years. I don't know how many.
Did you go on to go to college as well?
Yeah, I went after graduating from high school in 63. They had a junior college in Orlando called Orlando Junior College at the time. It was a private junior college. I went there for 1 year, and then I transferred to the University of Florida in Gainesville. It was before UCF.
Yeah.
There were no other, the only other colleges in the area were a few private schools, private colleges like Rollins, Stetson, Florida Southern. So I went to Gainesville. And also always wanted to go to Gainesville because that's where my brother Johnny went to.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Look back on it now, some of the best years of my life. Of course, like every other kid at the time, you know, we've got to hurry up and get out of here and get on with life and blah, blah, blah. I mean, when you get older, you look back, man, those were some good years. And wish I had taken more time to smell the flowers.
So, I understand you went to Oviedo when the plane crashed?
Uh-huh. I sure did. And I wrote up a little thing that I sent to, almost like you got this, or if I sent it to Desta, is her name?
Oh, yeah, I think she told me about it.
Do you know where the old school was? You've seen pictures of the old school up there?
Yeah.
It was a typical old two-story brick schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be on the first floor on the west side in my English class. The teacher was Jack Calvert. And I was sitting there and staring out the window, as I often did in school class. And I saw these planes coming, barely above treetop level. There were three of them at first. There were two what they call vigilantes. They were all photo reconnaissance planes out of NAS Sanford at the time. And just as they came over a treetop, they obviously realized that there was a school dead ahead. And a two-story school, and they were not going to clear it. The playground, which is right across from the back of the property here, was full of elementary kids right at recess at that time. The high school kids, like myself, we were all in the big building. Anyway, as soon as they realized that the two vigilantes just peeled off like that, and that A3J, when you see the picture of there, that plane, that's not the plane, that is just one of the type planes. As soon as he saw it, he did, because you're used to seeing planes horizontal. I mean, I served on an aircraft carrier in the Navy, and so I've seen lots of planes. You're used to seeing them, but as soon as he saw the school, he did this and went completely vertical. And it is still etched in my mind. You don't see planes in that vertical position. And he did that, and then bam. And he landed about, probably no more than a couple hundred feet from the school property, but up in the Orange Grove. It was owned by the Ward family at the time. And of course, pandemonium was breaking out at the school. Even though there weren't many of us, there was only about 300 in the whole school at the time. That's grades 1 through 12. And my business teacher right across the hallway, Novella Allen was her name, she said, Jimmy, I'll need you to go check on Mert and Bill Ward, see if they're okay, because they were some friends of hers that had a mobile home right over there in that area. She said, here, take my car. She gave me the keys to her car. Now, I was a junior in high school. They'd hang you for this kind of stuff today. She handed me the keys to her car. An old Mercury, I remember, I had a hell of a time driving because they had some kind of weird transmission. So I go out there and I jump in, and I was the only one that left the school grounds. And I drove around to the site. And by the time I got over there, the Navy had already posted a sentry. But I was from here to the door to the crash. But I mean, there was nothing much left. When a plane crashes and burns, I mean, it just burns up. There's a big ball of fire from the jet fuel, but that just goes up, and then that's it. The rest of it, then it's just smoldering. And I didn't put this in the write-up because it was kind of gross or macabre, but I mean, the bodies of the three dead were on top of the ground, still strapped into their seats. So then I went back to the school and I told Novella that the Burton Bill's house was okay, that it didn't hit them. Of course, one of the other teachers was mad as hell at me for leaving the school grounds. But that was okay. He couldn't do anything because the other teacher not only gave me permission, told me to go, gave me the keys to her car. And I was on the student council at the time, so a delegation of us went over to Sanford to the memorial service for the three that died. But they definitely gave their lives to avoid hitting that school. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because they would have hit it. There's no doubt they would have hit it.
You were in the Navy?
Yeah, I went on, like I said, I went on to Florida, and I graduated from Florida, University of Florida, in 67. Mm-hmm. This was right in the middle of the Vietnam War. And so I had to choose what I was going to do, and so rather than being drafted and going into the Army, I signed up and I went to the Naval Officer Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island, where I got commissioned as an ensign in 1967. Ended up staying and getting out in 69 at the end of the war, and I stayed in the reserves, Naval Reserves, for total of 25 years. And retired in 1991 as a captain. I retired in 91. When I got off of active duty in 1969, I wanted to teach. So I went to work for the Seminole County School System. I taught 2 years at what was at that time South Seminole Junior High School. Then it became the next year South Seminole Middle School. Then I transferred to Oviedo Junior Senior High School, where I taught for 1 year. And then they moved the middle school to Jackson Heights. It had been a sixth grade center, and they added the seventh grade out there. So I went out there, and I became the assistant principal at Jackson Heights. And I was there for 21 years, I believe, or 21 or 22 years at Jackson Heights. And then I transferred to Tuscaloosa Middle School. I was there as assistant principal for 9 years. And then I transferred my last 2 or 3 years to Lawton Childs Middle School, where I retired in, I think it was 2003.
What did you teach?
I taught math.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh yeah, I've always been math buff. My high school math teacher probably shaking his head, but I did. I was saying one thing you might find that was interesting. I remember when I was at Oviedo Elementary School, you know, the price of the little half pints of milk were 3 cents at that time. I think a full lunch, and it was a full lunch back then, it wasn't the kind of lunches they had now, but I think it was 30 cents, but the milk was 3 cents. So it's a different time. And so then after I retired, then I always liked the East Coast, and Oviedo was getting so big, this area was getting so big then, that I decided to move over to Melbourne, and that's where I've been ever since.
Yeah. So how do you feel about all the changes in Oviedo?
Oh, I tell you, it's progress, I guess. But there's sometimes I wish they just put it back the way it was, you know. But you can't go back again. In the next 20 years, it's going to be even bigger, no doubt about it. It is something. It's something. I remember when I was in high school, where UCF is out there, that property was for sale, and it had plywood signs up there with Kerrigan and Bowen Realty. All that property was for sale for $300 an acre. And the sign stayed there until it rotted down. That's just how it wasn't. You can imagine now what it's worth.
Yeah. Did you hear they're going to make this road bigger?
Yes, they did. I have. My cousin, Mary Jones, owns one of the buildings in the old...
Oh, really?
Mary Jones Bird owns one of the buildings, and... In fact, she was here visiting last week, and she told me she had just closed with the state of Florida. Are they going to take this house down over here? Yeah. My old house?
I don't think so. I think it's everything before the Baptist church, like townhouse,
all
the down
way.
That way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think so.
I just wondered if they were going to take it down. I guess it's open to some sort of office buildings or something in there now. Many years ago, I was here for one of their Great Day in the Countries, and I think I just went over there and walked through and just kind of looked around for old time's sake. Because as a little kid, I remember I thought it was huge. And then I went in and looked around and I said, man, this is little. But, okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I think that's true. Okay, so do you have any interests or hobbies?
Yeah, boating, sailing, fishing, outdoor activities like that. Okay. Right now in my retired years, I spend three months a year I spend over in the Bahamas. And then we come back during when hurricane season starts and start getting ready to go back the next year. And we have a lot of family that comes over with us every year because they all love it and stay with us for a week or two, and friends. So that's what my life is doing right now. Mm-hmm.
Do you have family that's still here in Oviedo?
Yes. My daughter, Dawn Jensen, is very active in the Oviedo Historical Society. You know her?
Yes, I think I met her.
Yeah, that's my daughter. My other daughter, Kathy, lives in Miami Beach. I have a daughter, Pam, that lives over in East Orlando. And then just 2 years ago, we lost my son, Jimmy. Hi. He passed away and lost him, and that's the family.
Yeah.
And my cousin, Barry, she was down. She lives in Asheville, North Carolina now. She was an old, long-time Oviedo resident, too. But I guess that Dawn is actually the only one still living in the Oviedo area, in Oviedo, as per se.
All right. So, were you married?
Yeah, I got married out of college. Had the two children, Pam and Jimmy, and then that marriage didn't survive. Remarried in 1995, a girl from Goldenrod. We had two children, Dawn and Kathy. And that's it.
Okay. So is there anything that you want to tell me that I haven't asked you about?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. Dawn, hi, I'm Jim.
Hi,
your desk. Okay, great, here you go. Okay. Yeah. We've been having a very interesting conversation. I don't know, let me look here real quick. Dawn sent me some things, said you might want to mention this, that, or the other. Let me see what it was that she said to talk about. We had, the Oviedo School was really great. We had some really wonderful teachers there. And I really do credit the success that I've had in life with the great teachers that that we had. I know Mrs. Palmer, Betty Palmer Spratt. She's a member of your Historical Society. She was my science teacher in high school. Wonderful lady. And there were several others like her that didn't take any gruff from us. And believe me, we were capable of handing it out. But they were always a step ahead of us.